This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I got a good word for you today. I'm in a series, for you guys that don't know. You guys that are here for the first time, just make yourselves at home. It is what it is. If you're thinking, well, I'm going to come back next week and see if it's better. It's not. This is as good as it gets. This is it. And we've been doing this for a while. And what's awesome about God's word, and what's awesome about God, is he never changes. Yet everything around us changes. And right now, the change is, I think everything has gone to a whole nother level. And I think a lot of it is just the constant media and the race to make news. It's not about delivering the news so much anymore. I think it's taking things and making them newsworthy is a lot of the media. And I'm not here to talk about the media. I'm just here to tell you about the onslaught. You know, when we hear things like radical Islam or ISIS or Ebola or Ferguson, Missouri, or, you know, Pastor Sandy and I lived right there at Ferguson, Missouri, in Jennings. When she was pregnant with Taylor, we were there for a year, our first year of our marriage, and had a wonderful time. I think we were the only white people in within a mile's radius, and I was playing wiffle ball and football in the side yard every day with kids, and man, we're going to barbecues, and just one of the best times of our lives was there. And I mean, we're newlyweds, and just loved every second of it. And now it's a powder keg, it seems like, if you watch the news. And the media can turn things into that. But not just that for people that are 350 miles away or Ebola in Dallas. We have to put this in perspective. There has been one person that's died from Ebola. And I understand the potential of what could happen. I understand what's happened in Western Africa. I get it. I get the whole thing. But here's the deal for me. It's those things that radical Islam, they are no more radical about Islam than I am about Christianity. As a matter of fact, I think I'm more radical. I think it's a lot easier to grab a gun and fight than it is to forgive and to not judge and not condemn and to give to people that are never going to thank you. I think that's even more radical. So when I hear about radical religion, it's like, I'm not real impressed, because I think this room is full of radical people that are sold out for God, that are living their lives right, that if they do stumble or if they do commit sin, it's like, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me of my unrighteousness. God, I repent. And God, you can trust me, and man, from here on out, that kind of thing. That's radical Christianity, and we're not going to stub our toe and just leave because we're worried about what anybody's going to think of us. Man, I had to quit worrying about what people think or say about me a long time ago, because it'll stop you, it'll paralyze you, it'll stop you in your tracks. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, but we have to understand that the radical approach that we use is love. Man, we bring a radical peace to the situation. Man, each and every one of us that love God and are full of the Holy Spirit, man, we bring a peace that's beyond anybody's understanding. And we're able to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But it's the peace of God that we bring. Man, it's because it's a peace that Jesus said. He said, look, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. It's a different kind of peace. It doesn't make sense peace. Whatever you're going through right now, I'm telling you, man, all you have to do is open the door of your heart, that Jesus door of your heart, and allow the peace of God to rule and reign and act as an umpire in your life. Man, that's what the word says, and that's what we have to do. But we get on that treadmill of having to watch the news and having to be informed. And I'm not against watching the news, and I'm not against being informed. What I am against is allowing fear to come into our lives. And that's what a lot of that news produces. See, we look at it. I mean, Sandy and I were talking, and she said that she read a story that all these people that were giving up their tickets to the OU Texas game because they didn't want to go to Dallas because of Ebola. And you look at this, and it's like, oh my gosh, where the reality is, man, our lives are in his hands. See, I don't believe a sickness or a disease can kill you. I believe fear attached to that sickness and disease can. See, I believe there's a regression that happens with our fear. There's a progression that happens in our life for his word. And see, and here's how it works for me. Back in the Garden of Eden, have you guys heard of the Garden of Eden? And it was Adam, and then it was Adam and Eve. And God said, look, it's all yours. I'm giving you dominion over everything. And it's overwhelming the amount of dominion that Adam had. And then God said, there's just one thing, Adam, because this all is about trust and obedience. Okay? And that's really what this is all about. Life now is about trust and obedience. That's how it all boils down to those two things, trust and obedience. Because this is about trust and obedience, God said, you can't partake of that tree. You can't take part of anything on that tree. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat the fruit of it, you're gonna die. Okay? And you know what? I don't know if that made any sense to Adam, because there wasn't any death on the earth. Do you understand? If Adam and Eve hadn't have eaten of the fruit of that tree, they'd be alive today. They never would have died. Death came in through their disobedience. Remember, the New Testament said through one man's disobedience, man, Christ came in through his obedience, we all could be saved. Okay? So one man's disobedience brought death to the earth. But here's how death came. Death came in this form, a lease. See, what happened is that Lucifer, Adam, because of his disobedience, what happened was a lease was executed for Lucifer, for Satan, for the devil. He has a lease on the earth, okay? So now a lot of things that happen, man, they're a counterfeit of how God created it. And it becomes morphed into something evil and something wicked and something bad. And listen, that's why the Bible says what the enemy means for bad, God will turn to good. God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But because of Adam had dominion over all the earth, and he disobeyed God, and through that disobedience, a lease came on the earth, and Lucifer, Satan, was able to lease the world. Okay? Now listen, so take that same principle of the lease and think about your thought life. Turn your Bibles to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, God, thank you for your word. God, I thank you today that it's life to us, it's health to all of our flesh. And God, I just thank you for the ability, God, you've given us to receive it by faith and to be able to proclaim it by faith to where it's receivable, in Jesus' name. So Paul writes in Philippians 2:5, and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Two points that have to be made here. Number one is you don't fight to have that mind in you. You can't work to have that mind in you. You can't soldier up and be a warrior and let the mind of Christ come in. You have to do this. You have to rest and be still and let it, allow it. Allow this mind to be in you. Let it be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you've come to church here very long, you've heard me say this before. If you're relatively new here, it bears me to bring this in. The second point of this verse is the order of how Jesus is named here. Okay? There's sometimes in the Bible you'll see where it's Jesus Christ and other times where it's Christ Jesus. Okay? It's not random. It's not flippant. It's not, well, sometimes it's just this and sometimes it's that. It's not to match it up to where it's poetic in the scripture. It's this. Now listen, if you look at this verse and you look at the order, when it's Jesus Christ, the action is man to God. When it's Christ Jesus, the action is God to man. So now, let this mind be in you, which was also in, now listen, Christ Jesus. The action is what? God to man. So it's God's responsibility. See, the action is from heaven. So what God's gonna do is he's gonna give you the mind of Christ. You have to receive it. How do you receive it? You receive it by faith. This right here is the entrance of grace in our lives. See, every bit of God's grace, his power, his dominion, his supernatural ability, his favor, I'm telling you, the door to that is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we look at this now, and we think, okay, it's God who does the work. All I have to do is receive it. How do I receive it? I receive his word. I receive his heart. I read his word now, because I know who God is, and I know God's love. And that's why the things that I question, because it's like, this is contradictory. It's never contradictory. It's always, you have to read it through God's heart. You have to know his heart. You have to know him and the power of his resurrection. So we get to this place now, and we go back to the principle of the lease. That when Adam disobeyed God, he leased the earth to Satan. When we disobey God, we lease our mind to Satan. That's how it works. See, we have the mind of Christ. See, I think a lot of people come in and get it backwards. A lot of people come into church and will say, hey, you have to have a new mindset. You have to have a new way of thinking. Man, you have to think this way. The Bible even says, think on these things. And so that people look at that as a lease on their thought life. Like I'm gonna lease my thoughts of God's word and God's principle, but I've got this default way to think that I've always had. And that's backwards. What we have to do is what God does, I don't even think he refreshes our mind. I think he pulls the hardware of our mind out and gives us whole new hardware that's brand new and it's alive unto him. Now we can receive the word by faith. See, to some, Jesus was Messiah. To others, he was a stumbling block. See, you come and you make Jesus the Lord of your life, it changes him from being a stumbling block in your life or a crutch in your life or whatever it is to being, wait a second, he's my Lord and Savior. Man, he's my Messiah. He's my hope. He's my love. He's the source of my life. See, so now what I've got to do is I've got to cut off the lease. Man, I've got to stop executing that lease of in my thought life, in my mind. And then he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal or right or in right standing with God. See, it doesn't make us little gods. See, that's Mormonism. They're all little gods. And that's why people say, well, it's a lot like Christianity. No, it's not at all. It's not, no, trust me, it's not at all. We have to look at this. We have to take on the idea that, wait a second, a cult is anything that adds or subtracts anything from God's word. So you can't take a layer of God's word and add other layers from some other prophet or some other guy that comes in. No, that's inappropriate. This book is sealed now. See, that's what we have to understand. Man, this book has been inspired by God and has made it through all this time to get to us for no one to add anything or take anything from it. Satan's objective is to get us to lease our minds to the concepts and the ideas that produce fear. See, and that's where it stops. We're not here fighting fear. No, you know what we got to do? We've got to change our thought life. We've got to have the mind of Christ. And you know what? Not fight for it, not, no. But what we have to do, and here's what, it gets crazy, because there's times, all of us can multitask at some level, some quicker than others, okay? But listen, none of us can multi-think. See, we all have about 25,000 thoughts a day, but we can only think about one thing at a time. See, that's why it's hard for some people to multitask, because I can't do something. I've got to think about those two things. I can do one at a time. But if I don't have to think about it, just do it, then I can think about something and do something else. See, that's what multitasking is. But see, we look at our lives now, we look at our thought life, and then we got to, and then what does the Bible say? And this becomes overwhelming, because how do you do that? My mind is constantly going, yet you have one thought at a time. You're thinking about one thing at a time. And so we let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and being in the form of God, thought it a robbery to be equal with God. But now we bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Not the captivity of Jesus, in the captivity of Christ. See, that's why we have to know him and the power of his resurrection. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because that was his purpose on the earth. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Why? He endured his purpose. For the joy that was set before him. Why? Because there's joy in fulfilling God's purpose in your life. That's all it was about. The purpose was what? To get us where we were connected and united and could be in fellowship with God. Could have communion and covenant with the living God. That was the sole purpose of Jesus' life. And everything was about his walk and his journey and getting him to that cross. Because he knew that cross couldn't stop it. He knew, listen, see, to most of the disciples, the cross was the end. They went and hid. But Jesus knew the cross was the beginning. The cross was he laid down his life and he shed his blood. Matt, we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus in a few minutes, and it's like, wait a second, game changer, game over, we win. See, he died, he shed his blood, he died on that cross, he went in the grave, everybody mourned, he didn't. He had a mission, he went to hell, he took the keys to the death and the grave, and he stripped the devil of all of his armor. He left him there humiliated and naked in front of all the bowels of hell. And he Jesus came and delivered to us, gave us the keys. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the keys to the kingdom. So now we've got the keys to unlock the grave and to deny, to unlock the gates to hell. And hell can't keep anything from us anymore. See, God gives us that. This isn't old time or old school religion. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Who being in the form of God didn't consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. See, you could have lined up 100 people, 100 guys, and you know what? You had a 1 in 100 chance to pick out Jesus. The Bible says he had no distinguishing features. Man, let me just tell you, I mean, you probably would have picked somebody before you picked him. Thinking, nah, that's not him. Nah, that's not him. That could look like him. No, you know what? No distinguishing features. He had made himself of no reputation. Now listen, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness, this gets really good and it builds, okay? Coming in the form of a bondservant and in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. When Jesus was 100% God and then 100% man. Okay? He was a God man. So here's what happened. When he went from being God and then entering into the realm of being a man, what's the first thing he had to do? He had to humble himself. Is that interesting? Man, the first thing that we have to do, the first thing Ken has to do sitting in the front row, first thing he has to do in marriage, first thing he has to do raise his kids, first thing he does in business, first thing he does in ministry, the first thing that you have to do is you have to humble yourself and be obedient. It's humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. Every time you walk in the room, you humble yourself. Man, you don't look for the seat of honor. You look for someone to bring you to that seat of honor. Man, there's too many people that know how to get to that seat of honor and they get there way too quickly. And you know what? That seat is a seat of authority. And you put a novice in a position of authority, they'll fall into the same temptation as Lucifer. What's a temptation? Pride. So what's the first thing that Jesus had to do? What's the first thing that I have to do? What's the first thing that you have to do? We have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves and become obedient. He had to become obedient to the cross. Why? The cross was his purpose. So here's what you have to do. Man, you come in the likeness of man. I come in the likeness of man. I come in the likeness of God now. Man, there's no distinguishing. It's like, wait a second, this is confusing. It's not. It's very simple. If I humble myself and I'm obedient to my purpose. And see, that's part and parcel where this whole thing is. It's about being obedient to the purpose that God has in your life. But the reality is that you poll the church nationally in America and between 8 and 9 out of 10 have no idea what their purpose is. So how in the world are they supposed to humble themselves and be obedient to something they have no idea what it is? See, that's where this thing doesn't work. That's why the world's looking at us and scratching their heads and thinking, man, what is this? Why are there all these? Is it about big church? Is it about music? Is it about all the theatrics? Is it about video church? Is it about teaching? Is it about, what is it about? And I'll tell you why. The world doesn't understand because I don't think most of the church understands. See, we've got to get to a place that we stop all the madness. We say, God, I just thank you right now that I live a life of purpose and I receive your purpose by faith. And God, I thank you that you lead and guide me in all truth. God, as I read the word, see, I understand the purpose on my life. The purpose on my life is to help you fulfill your purpose. How am I going to do that? Man, it's got to be dynamic messages that you don't fall asleep in, that you don't let your mind wander in. And we've got to have a safe, clean, and fun nursery for your kids. Why? So you don't have to give it another thought. We trust those people. We trust our children. We trust your children. Man, all this stuff is set up. Why? To get you to your purpose. That's what the church is about. And the purpose of the church, let me tell you something, is to provide the hope of the world. Man, that's the purpose of the church. Man, what are we doing with outreach? What are we doing across the street this month? Man, we're providing purpose. We're providing hope. See, that's what it is. Therefore, verse 9, God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. See, the reason Ebola doesn't strike fear in your heart is because the name of Jesus is above Ebola. See, the devil overplays his hand. See, he's expecting cancer. Well, I think you have cancer. It's like, wow. Okay. What's your opinion, doctor? Well, I don't know. I think we need to try some treatment. I think we need to do some. Listen, and what the devil's going to try to do is bring fear into the mix. I personally, this is me, I personally don't believe disease or sickness can kill you. But I believe worry and fear can. You attach fear to that disease, which cancer, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. What stage is it, God? Man, I was listening to a report. It's interesting because Jim Kelly has some kinds of cancer. I think he had a tumor in his brain. He had some things, and he's had some operations, come back a couple times. But he said something in the report that I saw that intrigued me, because the reporter asked him, what stage is your cancer? He said, I never asked. He said, it wasn't important. He said, I have one mission in my life, is to walk my daughters down the aisle, and I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter what stage it is. And I started thinking about it. I started thinking, okay, I know the name of the Lord, my God. I know the name of Jesus. At that name is what the Bible says. And the 3 points that I'm going to give, the first point is it all starts. You want to defeat fear? It's at the name of Jesus. Number one is at the name of Jesus. You have to get great at saying that. You have to get great at thinking that. You have to get great. You want to overcome? At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. The world did everything they could to stop the work of Jesus when he was on the earth, and they couldn't do it. They thought they'd done it when they crucified him. But you know what he knew that they didn't know? That was the beginning. That wasn't the end. Man, for some of you guys right now, you're walking in your purpose. Man, you're getting to your purpose, and you're thinking you're at the end, and God's just thinking, no. This is just the beginning. Man, it's about to start for so many people because you've humbled yourself and been obedient. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the name of Jesus. Jesus, you know, it's interesting because when I was putting the notes together for this series a few weeks ago or a month ago, or I lost my train of, I don't have a frame of reference on how long ago, I did a word study. And it was real simple, okay? And it took literally 5 minutes. But it was every time Jesus himself said, don't worry. And it's interesting because there's 4 key things that Jesus said don't worry about. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry beforehand. And don't worry about the how and the what. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry don't worry about beforehand, and don't worry about the how and the what. Let me just tell you that the whole idea is all of those are just amount to us trusting God. I'm trusting God with my life. I'm trusting God with, I remember when I was in high school and, man, the seniors had a corner of the locker room that, man, we didn't, no freshmen or sophomores went through there, just maybe starting, or the juniors that came through, they were allowed to almost, it felt like, but that was just a tradition in the high school I went to. And I remember we're listening to music, we're talking, and it's 20 minutes and 15 minutes before we're supposed to go out. Everybody's dressed, everybody's taped up, everybody's ready to go. And there's a sophomore linebacker that's just moved into town. He's slamming his head against his locker, and he's just fired up like this. I'm just looking at him thinking, you know, you're expending all kinds of energy. This game's going to require all my energy, all my ability, all my focus. I don't want to expend any before the kickoff. So when Jesus says, look, Don't worry about the how and the what. The Shear translation is, don't play the game before the kickoff. Because I think most people, the dreams in your heart, the dreams that God's given you, you don't execute them, you don't do them because you talk yourself out of them beforehand. Man, I'm just telling you, I'm so thankful that Sandy and I didn't talk ourselves out of trying to build something and call it the nightmare. Man, the first few years we did it, we called it Nightmare on 41st Street. But then we moved it to 44th Street, and then we moved it here, and it's like, oh my gosh, so now it's just a nightmare. See, there's so many things that go into it, you don't realize, but it adds up to over 134,000 people that have given their lives to the Lord. And I look at this and I think, it's crazy the things that I've allowed the enemy to produce, to give me thoughts of fear, and I lease a dream over to him. Is that crazy? Man, the dreams of your life, you're just writing a lease and not living that dream. In Matthew 6, verse 31, Jesus said, therefore, don't worry saying, what shall we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything I value in my life's come to me. The nightmare picked us. We didn't pick it. It's like, oh my gosh, we can't shake loose of it. Man, God, it's a mandate. It's a commission that's on our lives. See, that's how we have to look at this, that our lives, there's a mission attached to it. There's purpose attached to it. That purpose is people, and those people add up to numbers. See, the idea of this is that, man, fear defeats all of that. But we have to understand the entrance of his word brings life. We have to think about his word, and it produces life within us. Man, the entrance of doubt and unbelief brings death. Worry is accelerated by how we speak. Don't worry saying. Number one is at the name of Jesus. Number two, simple. Speak life. Speak God's word. Speak his promise. Speak victory. Speak triumph over everything. And don't let doubt and unbelief and death come out of your mouth. Because you eat good the fruit that comes from your lips. You eat your words. I want to eat life. How about you? Revelation 12, 10 through 12 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the blood of Jesus. And they didn't love their own lives to death. They humbled themselves and were obedient. They didn't love their own lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Rejoice, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil who think like the world. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. I'm telling you, Satan is desperate and he's on the run. You know why? He's got a short time. He doesn't think in terms of eternity like we should. He thinks like here and now. So when you start thinking here and now, you're cooked. Man, you got to start thinking, no, wait a second. There's a greater purpose. God's hands in my life. Nothing can snatch me from his hands. Satan is desperate. He's on the run. Man, trust God. Don't freak out. Trust God. Don't ever freak out. Man, you start to feel yourself freaking out, you've got to start speaking the word. Where does it start? At the name of Jesus. You get some symptoms? At the name of Jesus. It's that name above all names. Guess what? Here's what I think about Ebola. It's got to bow to the name of Jesus. It's got to submit to the name of Jesus. See, that's how powerful this name is. Radical Islam has to submit to the name of Jesus. Man, all the terror, anything that your flesh wants to freak out about, you've got to deny your flesh. You've got to crucify it day and night. Man, you can't allow it to take dominion in your life. So number one, at the name of Jesus. Number two, speak life. Number three, and this is huge, and I, for one, need to get much better at this. Rejoice. Celebrate.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.